You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
We're living for God for others. I mean, everything I do has some impact, some influence, some way on somebody. You know, whether it's my family or, you know, whether it's people I'm around or whether it's the church or whatever the case may be. But we need each other, amen? And I want to teach this morning. In fact, Jonathan get tickled about this because he heard this message twice in Guatemala, because I preached seven times in one conference and then I preached seven times in another conference. And I talked about your identity, who you are, and talked about your vision, where you're going. And you have to know who you are to know where you're going, because you'll give up on a journey if you don't realize who you are. Amen. That's why an encounter with God is so necessary, because that's we find out who we are when we get around God. We find that we can make it when we've been lied to and told we can't make it. Are you with me? We find out we don't have to quit, that we actually win, so we don't throw the towel in when the time gets tough, because we know God is with us. Hallelujah. If God be for us, who can be against us? We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen. And we have the victory. He gives us the victory in Christ Jesus. But that's finding out who you are. You find out who you are, and then you go out there and do the deed. You actually perform and fulfill the promise and the vision. We believe, we belong, we behave. Really, really pretty simple. It's not complicated. I do not behave so I can belong. I behave because I do belong. Amen. I belong because I believe. Yes. Are you out there? I believe in Jesus Christ. He has changed my life. Are you with me? He's come into my life and he's made me a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. I am not who I used to be. Hallelujah. Somebody. I may be celebrating 60 years today on this earth, but I've been born again for 41 years. And that's my real birth. Are you with me? That's when I really started living. I was just existing up to that point, but I started living when I found Jesus. A lot of ways to die out there. There's only one way to live. People say, you choose this way to live, I choose that way to live. No, you're choosing that way to die. There's only one way to live, and Jesus is the way. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So I believe, and because I believe, I behave. My daddy used to always tell me, son, remember you're a Williams. That's the first thing I forgot when I walked out the door until I got older. And all of a sudden, I could hear my daddy's voice, and he was right. A lot of things he said I didn't listen to, and now I begin to see the wisdom. You ever find that out when you get older? You hear your parents talking, you know, and they start making sense all of a sudden. It's like we got a translator or something. You know, it came into us when we got older. We understood what they were saying, you know. But all Dad was saying that, you know, you belong to a family. You know, you represent this family. You go out there and you live. Remember, you're a Williams, you know. Well, we need to remember we're Christians. Yeah. Amen. And we are that by birth, not by any merit on our part, not by any goodness on our part, not by anything we did. We are that by birth. I am a Christian. I'm not trying to be one. I'm not trying to maintain my Christianity. I am a Christian. Now, I belong because I believe, and because of that, I behave. Hallelujah. Because I don't want to bring a reproach on Christ. I don't want to cause anyone to stumble. It's not about, you know, impressing anybody. It's about representing somebody. You know, often people say, well, who are you trying to impress? I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm trying to represent somebody. Amen. I'm an ambassador for Christ. Hallelujah. I'm one that's been touched by the fire and the flame. Hallelujah. And I'm in a growing process. I got that, but, you know, hey. I'm still working on it. Praise God. I want to convey Jesus to people. I want them to see him. Hallelujah. And to do that, which I guess gets down to this point, is we need each other. We were called together. I am somebody individually, but I'm also somebody corporately. In other words, I am Michael, but I'm also Michael Williams. Are you with me? I'm part of a family. And I am a Christian, a believer in Jesus as an individual, new creature in Christ Jesus, old things passed away, but I'm also part of the body of Christ. So I have an individual identity, and sometimes if we're not careful, we'll major so much on the individual identity that we forget our corporate identity, and we become lone rangers. We don't get in a church, we don't get involved with each other, and we're missing out, and God's missing out. God's not able to use us as he should, and the world doesn't see Jesus as they should because we're not getting together. We're a family. I love that. You know, we're celebrating my birthday big surprise party. It's going to happen right after the service. Y'all going to surprise me with a birthday party. It doesn't work too well in church because I can smell all the food and see the food going back there, and I'm something's up. You know, I not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I figured that out. But something's going on. But when Brenda said that, we're family. We're not just family individual, as you saw up here, you know, performing that or doing that special. It was awesome. But we're family as the body of Christ. We're not just in a belief system here. We don't just believe the same. It's not just a social club. We're actually brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen? And we're going to live together forever. So we need to try to get along, don't we? Because we're stuck. That's a good thing. So that's a corporate identity. See, you could even break it down to local churches. I mean, I'm part of International Outreach Church. That's not a bad thing. It's a good thing to be a part of a local church. I understand that doesn't get me to heaven. I don't want to go too far with it. The main thing is I'm a Christian. I'm part of the body of Christ at large. But I'm also part of this local assembly here. Amen. And there's Baptist meeting here today, and there's Methodist meeting around town today, great churches around our city, people that have joined together and decided to serve God together, and they become very, very effective doing that. You and I become extremely effective when we get together. That's a wonderful thing. So I'm going to talk about some of the reasons this morning why we should develop a corporate identity. If you know anything about teams or sports, then you understand it's teams that win championships, it's not individuals. You've seen in the past great players and athletes excel in a game and the team lose because the team didn't play. The great player played. That's very common in basketball. You see that a lot where they can just score rack all kinds of points up one star player, but the team still loses because they didn't play off each other. And sometimes those teams will win and nobody really scored a lot of points. It was spread around. Everybody was scoring because they all played together. And so great players play the game, but teams win championships. And it's the same thing in the body of Christ. We can all play this game. We are Christians. We are all believers. But it's as we get together that we really start having victories. It's when we get together that we really start seeing the glory of God come to pass, the anointing of God, the presence of God, the power of God. Ooh, hallelujah. There's something about church that just cannot be duplicated in your home. I know God can move, and you should pray individually, and you should read your Bible, and we should serve God 24/7. I got that. But there's something about corporate prayer. There's something about getting together like this. There's just a different anointing that comes on into play and on the scene. There's an encouragement that happens here. There's a stirring that happens in church. I mean, you get changed, you get challenged, and you get charged. Hallelujah. You come hungry, you leave full. You know, it's just something about church because it's a God thing. Church is what God ordained. Hebrews 10. I just want to go over one verse there. We actually shared this a couple of weeks ago in Hebrews the 10th chapter. Here's a great reason why you and I need to join a group called church and why we should work together. You want to know what it is? This is probably the greatest reason. I put it on the first reason. Y'all want to know what the greatest reason is to join? Okay. Get you all excited here, you know. If you really want to know, stand up and shout, you know. The greatest reason you should join a group or join church and get together, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some is, exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. The greatest reason is because God said so. That's profound, isn't it? God's the one that said go to church. It wasn't the preacher that said go to church. It wasn't the neighbor that said go to church. That's what we think about, you know. But actually, God's the one that said we need to get together. And even more so, as you see the day approaching, the day, the coming of the Lord. How do you know Jesus is coming? Amen. Could be today. We don't know when he's coming. Could be that we don't know the day or the hour. Jesus said no man knows the day or the hour. Could be before this service is over. Could be before I turn 61. But we know he's coming. And the more closer we get to that day, the Bible says that we should assemble ourselves together and not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It's not a legal thing. It's not like law. It's just God's trying to help us. He's just trying to bless us. He has really just got our best interest in mind. Something happens when I come to church. Hallelujah. I get stirred up. Praise God. I find out I can make it. I'm not the only one out here serving the Lord. I'm not the only one having issues. Are you with me? And you know what? I've got something I can help and add to other people's lives. Praise God. I can pray for people. When we pray, that is an awesome time in our church when we take prayer requests and we get to all join together and we pray together. Amen. And we use our faith, who we are, praise God. And we begin to use that faith inside of us, what God has placed in us, to help suffering, sighing, dying humanity. There's a world out there that needs God. We need to see them the way God sees them. We need to have the compassion that He has. And we get together and we become aware of that. Amen? So, we want to do it for obedience sake. In Deuteronomy, 32nd chapter, if you're writing notes, you can turn there. There's a couple of verses here I want to bring out. Deuteronomy 32 says, verse 30. I guess I ought to put my glasses on. You know, I am 60. Woo. I've been getting senior pancakes, though, since I was 55 at IHOP. So anyway. Deuteronomy 32:20 says, "How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up?" In other words, you know, God, one chases 1,000, two puts 10,000 to flight. Come on. You don't just multiply by two when you get together with somebody. It's exponential when you get together with somebody. I always liken it to working on a house. You know, I've done carpenter work for years and plumbing and anything to do with a house I've worked on for years. But I started, Brent and I got married. I worked for three different plumbing companies. Then I got into working at chemical plants in Houston, got in the Carpenters Union, started doing carpenter work. And then we came up here and started pastoring the church in 1982 and have been doing carpenter work and plumbing ever since. But anyway. Pulpit in the Bible, that's all you need, right? No, it doesn't work that way. But anyway, I always think about it this way. If you're doing carpenter work, say you're roofing a house or, you know, you're up on a ladder, when you have a helper, you don't go twice as fast. You go a whole lot more than twice as fast because you're not having to go up and down the ladder getting stuff and they're handing it up to you. So it's exponential. It's a whole lot more than now we do it in 1 hour, you know, with two people as opposed to 2 hours. No, what takes you half a day, you know, you can do in, well, it takes you all day, you could do in an hour or so with a helper because you got somebody handing you things and doing what you couldn't do. It's like that and on steroids when you're believing God and serving God. That's why Jesus sent people out two by two, so they would encourage one another, so they could lift one another. That's why we need to come to church, because we find out, praise God, we're loved, we're accepted. There's a group I'm a part of, hallelujah. I'm not just by myself. I have a gift. They have gifts. We all have different gifts. Yes. I'm useful, amen. I'm needed, and I'm needful too. Praise God. I have something you don't have. You have something I don't have. So we find out we're more effective because we want to chase 1,000, but wouldn't you like to chase 10,000? Wow. And Matthew 18:19 says this, "If any two of you agree as touching anything they ask my Father, it shall be given." So there's power in agreement. That's why we turn these prayer requests in. That's why people call the prayer chain, because we want more people praying. The more people we have praying and believing God, the quicker this thing is going to happen. Hallelujah. I know God hears me when I pray, but it just goes up another level when I get someone to agree with me. God didn't call us to serve by ourselves. He called us to get together, hallelujah. Man, I need that. I know people are praying for me. You know, there's lots of times I just don't give up because, not necessarily because I don't feel like giving up. I'm like anybody else. You cut me, I bleed. I mean, there's lots of times I want to quit, throw the towel in. I remember years ago somebody stood up. They're not here, thank God. But anyway, oh, God bless them. I'm for them. I don't mean it that way. But I'm not going to embarrass anybody when I say this. But they got up and they said, they were testifying. They said, "Oh, I just want to testify. I'll tell you what, I wanted to leave the church so many times. I wanted to quit. But you know what? I'm here to say God told me I just couldn't leave. And here I am. I'm still here." I thought, well, that was kind of a convoluted testimony. So when the lady sat down, I said, "Well, I want to testify the same thing." I said, "I wanted to leave so many times, I wanted to give up and quit so many times, but God just would not let me, and I'm still here, hallelujah." Who hadn't thought that? Come on. You've thought about quitting everything you've ever done. You've thought about quitting once or twice, probably more than that. You've had bad days and good days, high cotton, low cotton, and no cotton. You just keep picking. You just don't quit because you know God's with you, amen? And when we get together, that encourages us. I mean, that gives me, you know, just a I'm trying to use another example. Betty used to get on me because I'd say this was a shot in the arm. And she always thought that sounded too much like drugs, and I guess it is. But anyway, we just need a boost. You know, we need a little more something. Coffee. There you go. We need more coffee. That's what we need. I saw this meme the other day. It says, one does not go to work without coffee. Needs coffee. But you know, this is, amen. You got to have it. Hallelujah. Another one is, there's a lady, it's like a mama putting her finger out. Do you smell coffee? I don't either. Go fix some. But we get together like this because we need this spiritual caffeine. Okay, a fellowship, I guess you'd say. It's a boost that you and I need. We need each other. Hallelujah. I'm a better man because of this church. I'm telling you, I'm a better husband. I'm a better father. I'm a better Christian. I'm a better pastor. You have made me what I am. You have been a great part of that. I could not have done this on my own. I'm a conglomeration of a lot of people. Nobody's passed through my life that hadn't made some impact. Are you with me? And us together as family, week in and week out, year in and year out, 34 years we're going now in this church, 34 years. Thank you for what you've imparted to my life. We're a part of each other. We need each other. And hopefully I've helped you. And, you know, that's what this is all about. I don't have everything. You don't have everything. It's a great day when you realize that. Amen? When you realize your limitations. You know, not that you're bad. It's just that you're gifted in a unique way. And around us, you find your uniqueness. Because we don't have your gift and you don't have our gifts. And we get together and we shine, don't we? Because we are different, and we're supposed to be different. We're not just numbers. I like that. You know, I've shared that before. We're not just numbers. You know, we got 50 people. We got 100 people. We got 200 people. We miss 10 leave, and we have 10 less. No. 10 leave, we lose functions. It's like a family. When your mama dies, you don't lose a number. You lose a mama. When your daddy passes away and goes on to be with Jesus, you lost your daddy. Oh, come on now. Or a brother or a son or, you know, and in a body, it's the same way. If you lose a hand, you don't lose a member. Now you had, you know, 500 members. Now you got 499. No, you lost a hand. You lost a function. You lost a gift, something unique. You lose an eye. You lose sight. You lose an ear. You lose hearing. Are you out there? So that's why we should look at each other. None of us are complete. I am not the body. I am a member in the body. We are the body. I'm getting real ahead of myself, but anyway, that's what the scripture says. So we got obedience, number one. God says so. Let's get together. Amen. We've got effectiveness. We're definitely more effective. One chase 1,000, two put 10,000 to flight. And if any two agree is touching anything, it shall be done. Anything they ask of my Father. Boy, there's effectiveness there. You want your prayers answered? I do. Yeah. It's not about getting the glory. It's not about, you know, I prayed and God heard me. I really want to help people. I want to get the answer. And if you and me praying together can make it happen, I'd rather you pray with me instead of me just pray by myself. Amen. And of course I'll pray by myself if there's nobody else around. And of course you should too. We should all do that. But take advantage of each other. Let's agree together. We ought to be praying together. Pray ye one for another that you may be healed. James 5:16. Take advantage of this awesome connection with God and this awesome force of fellowship that we have, the effectiveness of it. Oh, my goodness. You know, I think as Winston Churchill said that if you don't learn to work with people, you'll never be successful. The greatest key to success in humanity is being able to work with people, being able to help people and work with people and overcome things, personalities. Everybody's personality is different. Do you know that? Not everybody's like me. I know you figured that out a long time ago. Not everybody's like you. In fact, you might as well just be yourself because everybody else is already taken up. And you might as well get over yourself. We got over you a long time ago. I think it was Chico Holiday said this. He got saved, and he was a nightclub singer. You might have heard of him, Chico Holiday. Some of you younger people may not have heard of him. But anyway, he got saved and came to Lakewood, actually, and he had put an album out and everything. You know, that was one of the, you remember those albums, you know, those things, but anyway. And he said, I used to walk into a crowd, and I used to be so nervous. I'd think, what are they thinking about me? God bless you. What are they thinking about Chico? Man, what are they, do they like me? Do they think I'm looking good? Do they think I sound good? And he said, one day, the Lord spoke to me and says, Chico, they're not thinking about you. They're thinking about what you're thinking about them. So we're all going through life thinking about what each other's thinking about each other, and we might as well just get over it. Are you with me? Hello. See, I'm just convinced you love me, so I don't have a problem with that. I'm never concerned about what you think about me, because I know you just love me. You just think I'm wonderful. Hallelujah. How could you not love me? I just don't understand. No, I don't waste my time with that. Don't waste your time thinking about what other people are thinking about you. Just be you, love God, love people, and get over it. Amen.
Amen?
Third thing that we can say, actually is two things in one, Ecclesiastes 4, turn there. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Man, I love these few verses here. Of course, I love them all, but I love the 9th through the 12th verse of Ecclesiastes, the 4th chapter. It says this, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. So obviously there's benefit, which kind of flows into effectiveness also. But there's good reward for your labor when two get together. Man, think of what we've accomplished here in this church. Just an amazing thing. Just amazing, really. I'm blown away when I think about Will's Point and International Outreach Church and the things that we've done with missions and Hallelujah Night and our food ministry. You know, one time we had a television channel. We ran 24 hours. Did that for 5-6 years and out in this community. And, you know, we've done some tremendous things that nobody could have done by themselves. Not a one of us could have done that. And it was God that gets all the glory. We got that. But God pooled our resources. God put us together and our talents and our gifts. And he's still doing it. Still doing it. When I think of all that we have here, the facilities. See, we're just on the edge of something in our church. I believe there's an explosion coming. I believe there's an increase coming. I believe this is a year of increase. And I believe it's a year of growth. I mean, we're sitting here completely out of debt on 44, almost 45 acres, completely out of debt. All these buildings completely out of debt. And we have substructure, and we're sitting here waiting for there's going to be an explosion that's going to hit us in the name of Jesus. I see it. I see it coming. And God's getting us ready for that. And people are coming from everywhere. They're just coming from everywhere. In fact, I'm calling in workers and leaders and musicians and singers and teachers and nursery workers and salvations and healings and baptism with the Holy Ghost and gifts of the Spirit flowing in the name of Jesus. I mean, I'm calling in flows of God and presence of God and anointing of God, and it's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming. I'm calling it every day. Every day it's coming. It's coming. And it's coming by the Holy Ghost. It's coming us doing our part. And he's sending other people, knitting other people with us. And we have yet to see what God has in store. The best is yet to come. Hallelujah. There's benefit from getting together. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. 10th verse, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. We don't always like to talk about this, but you are not Superman. And you're not Superwoman. And there's a time you're going to need somebody to hold your hand. Are you with me? There's going to be time when you're down. I'm not prophesying. I'm not trying to be doom, gloom, and destruction at all, because I believe we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I know I've had off days. How about you? I know I've been sucker punched before. I know I've had tragedy hit just out of the blue. It happens in this life. We're a broken, fallen world. But I also know I'm not alone. Not alone with God and not alone in the church. I got people I can call on. I got people that'll hold me up, praise God. I got people that'll stand with me, praise God. And you need that, and I need that. You need to be those people, too. We need to be those people that are there that people know they can call because they know you're going to serve God. It's for you and your house, you're going to serve the Lord. That's what Joshua said. You know, people need to know who to call in the time of trouble. They need to know who to, you know, whose phone number they punch in that phone when they need help and they need prayer. I want to be that person. Don't you want to be that person? See, we need each other, because there's going to come a day you're going to need to call somebody. So he says, if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? Now, that's just not physical. That's also spiritual. You want to stay fired up for God? Get around people that are fired up for God. You want to stay passionate about Jesus, passionate about your work, your walk with the Lord? Well, stay around people that are passionate, because if you're by yourself, you'll burn out. But if two get together, you can fire each other up. That's one thing happens in church, isn't it? We get fired up. Ooh, hallelujah. I just preach myself happy when I come to church. fires me up to be around you, to hear your testimonies, to see your faces, to know you're praying, you're believing, you're out there serving God, and to know also that you have needs. And I need to serve God because you have needs. Hallelujah. So, if two lie together, then they have heat, and how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Man, you just take this, you ramp this way up when you go from two of us to three of us to 10 of us to 50 to 100 of, oh my goodness gracious, woo. So benefit and protection. Think about that. We come to church, number one, because God says so. And secondly, because of the effectiveness of it. And third, because of the benefit and the protection of it. I tell you, this keeps me protected. Church protects me. It really does. I'm not left at the mercy of my own intellect. Are you out there? I'm challenged from time to time. That's what I love about the class. You know, we have a Sunday school, and it's open. People comment, ask questions, and it's been good for me because I can't just say anything. Somebody's going to challenge me. Where'd you get that, preacher? Usually when you say preacher, I know I'm in trouble, but anyway. Preacher. You know, no, they don't say that here, but they want to know where, you know, you have to back up what you say. You have to dig in. It challenges you. It's good. That's a good thing. Amen. It protects me from just going off on my own and coming up with my own ideas, because I know that we're going to check this out. I always heard, you know, even politically, the difference between a liberal book and a conservative book. A conservative political book has footnotes. But anyway, that was uncalled for, I know, but I just couldn't help myself. So if he one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and threefold cord is not quickly broken. We are stronger together. We are protected when we get together. Thank God for International Outreach Church. Hallelujah. And thank God for the body of Christ at large. Fourthly, which I've been hitting on all over, turn to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12 chapter. Of course, we know about the gifts, and it starts out and says, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning spiritual gifts, that you're carried away by these dumb idols, even as many that were led. And then he talks about no man calleth Jesus, say Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Ghost. And then he talks about different gifts, same spirit, different offices, same Lord, different operations, same God. I love that because he's talking about the Trinity there, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And the gifts are by the Spirit, and the offices are by Jesus, because Jesus ascended on high and gave gifts to men, some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, some evangelists, some teachers, what we call fivefold ministry. Jesus gives out the offices. But the operation of those offices are from God. Every one of us are unique and different. I preach different than other preachers preach. My personality is different than other ministers. I may lay hands on the sick a little different than somebody else lay hands on the sick. Somebody may push a little harder than I do. I don't really push. I like to just put my hand on them. Are you with me? Some people just take a jacket and swing it, and the whole congregation falls out. I think that's an operation I don't have. Are you with me? I'm not debating that. I've seen it happen. I know it's real. Are you with me? Operations are from God. Everybody operates different. You know, if another pastor come in here, and you know, when I'm 90 years old and retire, and another pastor comes here, they'll have a different personality. And that's okay. It's the way it's supposed to be. We have different, the way we do things and our personality is, our operations are from God. They're different, just the way it is. Our offices are from Jesus, and our gifts are from the Holy Spirit. That's what he's talking about in this 12th chapter. And he goes down the 12th verse. Y'all found the 12th chapter, 12th verse. He says this, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. I like that. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, or we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. So I am not the body of Christ. We are. Get that? I am a member of the body of Christ. So that's me as an individual. That's my individual identity. I am in Christ, a new creature in Christ, and I am a member of the body. But me as a group, I got to go from me to we here. We are the body of Christ. I'm a part of that we. I'm a part of that corporate group, but I'm also an individual. And I think if we're not careful here, we'll major so much on the individual aspect of who we are, we forget about our group aspect. Isn't that right? In fact, we kind of live in a country where it's kind of the thing to do, your own thing. You know, if you're not careful, you get to thinking about rugged individualism, which I agree with as far as working and making your living and being responsible for your actions and your character and all those things. I got that. But we're still a part of a great group here. We are Americans. And I think it's done us, it's been to our damage and to our disgrace and shame that we call ourselves black Americans and white Americans. We're Americans, okay? Amen. We're just Americans. Incidentally, I'm white, but I am an American. Incidentally, you may be black, but you are an American. If you're an American citizen, then you're a part of this great nation called the United States of America. Are you with me? And it should be the same way even Christianity when you think about it, even more so. I'm not a white Christian. I am a Christian. I'm not an American Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm not an International Outreach Church Christian. I'm just a Christian. Are you with me? Now, I'm a part of International Outreach Church. I have an identity here as a group, this church, and we should have that. We need that. But let's get the big picture here. We're all part of the body of Christ. That's why we got to throw away all this stuff, all this criticism between churches. I am pro-church. Thank God for First Baptist. Thank God for United Methodist. Thank God for Assembly of God. Thank God for the Catholic Church. Thank God for people who name the name of Christ. Are you with me? There are some disagreements. I got that. But there's a whole lot more we agree on than we disagree on. Whole lot more. All those people I just named believe Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, went to hell, rose again, sat down on the right hand of God, and obtained redemption for you through his shed blood. They all believe that. Amen. I know they don't all believe in healing, they don't all speak in tongues, but when they get to heaven, they'll find out we're right. I love them, I'm not against them. There's some good people that have some wrong ideas. You got some wrong ideas. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. You know, if you're going to correct things, don't get on to people. Just talk about ideas. Are you with me? Talk about, you know, why we believe what we believe and what the Bible teaches, what the Bible preaches, and so on and so forth. We love people. We're for people. We are all a part of the body. Amen? 15th verse. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not the body, is it therefore not of the body? Well, that'd be ridiculous, wouldn't it? The foot's pointless and useless without the body. If the foot's not connected to the leg bone's not, you know the song, not connected to the hip bone. If we're not all connected, we don't function. And therein lies the problem. See, I am a Christian, but I'm called to a body in order to function. Because I'm not really going to fulfill the destiny of my life and the vision and the calling and the gifts and the dreams and the visions God put on my life without you. Amen. If you can fulfill your vision without anybody else, your vision didn't come from God.
That's right.
Because God's vision always includes other people. It always does. We need each other. Amen? We're part of each other. Praise God. He goes on and says this. If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Of course not. Goodness gracious. Ear is just as much part of the body as the foot is, and they're totally different. Totally different in function. Totally different in the way they look. But they're both part of the body. Amen? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? Wouldn't it be something if we just had an eye church? Or an ear church? Everybody coming here, just a big eyeball sitting right there on the... We'd all just be looking. Just ridiculous. I mean, come on. I mean, we all have different parts of a body, and we're all different in the body. Isn't that right? That's what we're talking about. And that's, you know, that's why, and I understand that. I got that. I know we're in different parts of the country. It's different, and there's a lot of old prejudices that get in there. But, you know, there's no such thing as a white church and a black church and a Hispanic church. We call them that, and I understand that. But it's God doesn't see it that way. We just kind of design-friendly churches, you know. Everything's designer-friendly, whatever it is. You know, we're blonde-headed church. Yeah. We just have red-headed people over here. Sorry, I know you're blonde head. That church down the road down there, they blonde haired people go down there. Red haired people go here. Oh, blue eyes? Oh no. Blue eyed church is the other way. That's the blue eyed church, you know. I mean those are distinctions that have nothing to do with the Bible. and nothing to do with Christianity. You know, in Martin Luther King's speech, the great I Have a Dream speech, which was not I have a complaint, it was I have a dream. Amen. He said, I dream of the day when a man will be judged by the content of his character, not the color of his skin. And yet, that's what we're doing, isn't it? We just keep bringing the skin thing up. White, black, Hispanic, whatever. And I don't mean to get on a soapbox here, but it just fits what we're preaching here. Short, tall, rich, poor.
Yep.
Are you out there? See, a church shouldn't be rich people. A church shouldn't be poor people. Church shouldn't be people that work, people that don't work, older people, young people. This is a young people church. No. Church should have everybody. Church, there should be no distinction, and we should treat nobody any differently, whether you had $1 million or whether you had no money. Whatever the color of your skin is, or whatever background you have, or whatever you look like. That has nothing to do with church. Church is beyond all that. Church overflows those borders. Are you with me? We're all one in Christ. We're neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, nor bond nor free. We're all one in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And we all count. We're all important. We're all needed. And you're somebody. Don't you let the devil lie to you. You're somebody. And we need you, and you need us. Amen? Well, I just don't do anything. Well, if you come and you pray and you believe God, that's part of it. That's what makes this thing happen. And maybe there's something else you can do. So don't discredit yourself. Don't discount yourself. So, you know, God calls us to see who we are. I love it. He's brings out my uniqueness. Hallelujah. And when I get around you, I begin to see how unique I am. I'm a pastor. I'm a teacher. That's pointless if there's nobody else here. Yeah. Brenda would get real tired of me just preaching to her all the time. I used to go down to Mexico, you know, to Walt and Eva's, ministered there in Guadalajara and then over in San Luis Potosi and all over Mexico. And, I get tickled because I just follow Eve around her kitchen, just preach to her the whole time because I'd ready to preach. And just quote scripture to her constantly, you know, just preaching all the time. Preach, preach, preach. Well, you couldn't stand that all the time. That's just what I am. It's who I am. It works real well in a group. But I have to calm it down when I leave here because my gift just really shines when I'm in the group. That's when the uniqueness comes out. Hallelujah. Okay, so he says this. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them in the body as it has pleased him. You know, I often hear people say, well, you know, the pastor, he was called there. God called him there. No, God called every one of us. I hope God called you here. I hope somebody didn't talk you into coming or staying or you had to have the preacher tell you it was okay. Well, I think you ought to tell me you're coming, but that's between you and the Lord. The Lord's going to tell you to come or not and tell you this is the place or not the place, and you're either going to connect with me or you're not going to connect with me, and that's okay. I'm not everybody's cup of tea. I got that, but I'm somebody's cup of tea. Everybody's not my cup of tea, and that's okay. I'm unique. I mean, there's somewhere, some place you're going to find your cup of tea or in this church, cup of coffee. Okay. You're going to find it, and you need to find it, and don't stop till you get there. When you walk in, when the Spirit of God tells you, hey, you know what, this is it. This is where you need to be. Every one of us are supernaturally set. He has set every one of them. Y'all see that? We often forget that. We think in terms of just the callings, the pastor, you know, or the evangelist. Well, no, we're all called, or we should be, and we should know that this is where God wants it. A lot of times people will come, you know, and they'll say, well, we're looking for a church, and, you know, they'll visit, and I'll say, well, you know what? I'll be praying with you. God will show you, you know, where it is. If this is it, we would love for you to come. If not, we're going to believe God's going to show you. I'm not just going to get people and grab people when, are you with me? I'm open. I want them to come, but I want them to hear from heaven. I want them to know God wants them here. Are you with me? I don't say it in a mean way because I'm very nice. I wish everybody would come here. I don't know why God hasn't called everybody to come here. I'll ask them when we get there. But some people are just called here. And you know it in your heart. Amen? Because whatever you are, whether you're a foot or an eye or a hand or an ear, as different as you are, God still places you. Amen? He can still do that. Okay, let me wrap this up. You get anything out of this? Is helping you? Okay. 18 verse says, now God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. If they were all one member, where were the body? man, we got people that can sing, we got people that can dance, we got people that can't sing, can't dance, and we got we got people that can teach and people can't teach. We got people that usher, people working in the nursery. We got people doing everything. Who's more important around here? Well, you get those kids crying in here, you'd be crying for a nursery worker. All of a sudden, somebody you don't even think about, don't even see, becomes very, very important because the function now is not functioning. There's no motion in the ocean. There's no unction in the function. And the kids are crying. We're looking for a nursery worker. We've gone through this in the church for 34 years. You know, we'll have needs come up, people that do things, move off or whatever, and man, we're on our knees praying. It seems like there's always something different, but it's a need that you don't think about till it's not there. Till no one's meeting that need. We're all important, amen? Every one of us, praise God. 20th verse, now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, these members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more honor, abundant honor, our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. See, I've heard it said like this, and I know you can take it either way, but we're uniquely gifted, but we're deficient by design. Those were limited. I don't want to say we're without. But God did not give you all the gifts. He did not give you. No one here has everything. Nobody. Okay? We're all important. We're all equally loved. But we're all differently gifted. We've got different personalities, different passions. I mean, if everybody in here, you know, if everybody was like me, we'd all be preaching, teaching. If everybody had the passion that the nursery worker has, then everybody want to be keeping kids. If everybody was in the children's church, had passion for children's church. See, everybody doesn't have that passion, but some people do. Some people have it. Some people want to work with youth. Some people have a heart for youth. Some people want to, they love cleaning. That's not, we don't think that it's a spiritual thing, but it is. It's a spiritual thing to want to get the house clean, get the house fixed up. Are you with me? Because guests are coming. People are coming. We want to represent Jesus, you know, and they have a passion for that. And that's their gift. That's their calling to do that. Everybody has a gift. Everybody has a calling. We just don't want to look at everything through that filter. We need to understand we're all just a part of it. Because I hear people come, you know, as a pastor, I hear all kinds of needs and we ought to do more of this and more of that. Well, we ought to do a little bit of everything, but we can't all be one thing. Amen. Because we're not all one thing. Yeah. Isn't that right? We can't all, the whole church can't be the food ministry. The whole church cannot be Hallelujah Night. Are you with me? The whole church can't be the auditorium, the adult class. The whole church just can't be the worship service. The church should be all that and more. Amen. And the more people come, the more guests we have, the more influence we have, the more ministries we have. Hallelujah. Good stuff. Amen. Well, we don't compete with each other. We complete each other. So obedience, effectiveness, and protection, effectiveness, benefit and protection, and then limitations. That's what we need, church. Thank you for coming today. Not just on my birthday, but just coming to church. Amen. Stand up, give the Lord a shout and a hand clap. Hallelujah.